morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I want to welcome you to this show. I've had many wonderful guests on here, but you know, sometimes I like to do a show by myself and touch on some things that maybe we don't cover in the different interviews with all those wonderful guests. So today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Sacred Changing Woman. Now, I know many of you right now are experiencing severe weather wherever you are. Let's hope that this is winter's last gasp before the breath of spring gifts us with daffodils and tulips and flowering trees. But for now, I would like to invite you to come on in and gather around the fireplace with me. And let's share some stories and remember some long-forgotten truths. One of the wonderful stories that Native Americans have, it's part of their, what we call mythology, many things that are in the spirit world are related to the spirit world, our culture seems to regard as mythology, but the spirit world is just as real as this world. Anyway, Native Americans have a story about changing woman, and she represents the self-renewing one. Now, many celebrations are made to honor woman's changing body, from childhood to womanhood to crone. And there are many gifts that changing woman brought to people. But woman, human woman especially, was blessed with the greatest gift the Creator could give, and that is to be able to bring forth new life from her own body. And woman's life is very much, well, it's inextricably linked with Mother Earth in all her beauty and abundance and the rhythm of her changing seasons. Woman, like Mother Earth, brings forth new life in her spring years and nurturing and nourishing abundance in her summer years, the comfort of harvest in her autumn years, and the wisdom of the elder in her winter years. As we would honor our own biological mother, we must also remember to honor Mother Earth, Sacred Changing Woman, who provides for all her children. Our bodies come from the earth, they are made of earth, and when we leave our bodies, the body returns to earth. We are one with earth, and somehow, in the last few hundred or maybe it's few thousand years, people have come a long way from our roots. You know, in ancient times, and we all have ancestors from ancient times, all people, regardless of race, were once tribal people living close to nature and to the land. The wisdom of the Earth Mother is buried deep within our genetic code. But its remembrance can be triggered by something like sitting around a campfire in the evening and sharing stories. A primal knowing seems to arise inside us, and we suddenly feel comforted and at one with each other and all creation. There's a faint remembrance, as if we have finally returned home after a long absence. There's a sense of joy in our hearts. wants that our technologically advanced society does not provide, and an identity that we seem to have forgotten. Today, our Mother Earth is experiencing severe changes, climate changes and global warming, and these are very much connected with our neglect to honor her and our disrespecting her in many ways. In recent shamanic journeys, I have found increasing instances of troubled spirits of the land that have been displaced and dishonored, and their troubled spirits are affecting those who now inhabit the land. We must bring harmony back to Mother Earth, to the land that we live on, to the land that gives us our lives. We must transmute our forgetfulness and our arrogant ways into respect and honor that which is our home and the provider of all our needs. You know, all of our food and water and nourishment comes from the earth and from Father Sun. We actually eat light when we eat vegetables. The plants are able to digest light and create edible foods for us. We are so much a part of nature, and yet we've moved so far away from that understanding. Sandra Ingerman, who has been on my show, and you know she's a wonderful teacher of shamanism, doing workshops all over the world. She's written a wonderful book about transmutation, and she's working tirelessly to restore health and vitality to polluted waters around the world. Some things have reached a point where they can only be healed in a spiritual way, and the waters of the world are in very bad shape. It's unbelievable to me that we've allowed this to happen, since our bodies are 75% water and we can't live more than about 4 days without water. It's critical to our very existence. And yet we have allowed companies and corporations and ships and people all over the world to pollute the waters that are crucial to our health and well-being. Now, Sandra's book is called Medicine for the Earth, and it gives a logical set of steps to bring about a healing of the earth itself. There's such a depth of wisdom in this book that I would urge you all to read it as soon as possible. It can be purchased on Amazon.com and through any bookseller. This is a true breakthrough in healing energy work. I think the reason that most people are not taking action to turn global warming and earth changes around is because they don't know how or where to start. Sandra offers a formula that we can all follow to restore harmony in our own lives as well as to Mother Earth. The formula, it sounds so simple, but I'll go over the steps with you because it does require a little more understanding of each one. But the formula is intention plus love plus harmony plus union plus focus plus concentration plus imagination. Now, the first one, intention, for any of you out there that have been studying manifestation, I know a lot of the New Agers are trying very hard to learn how to manifest more wealth in their life, more health in their life, more abundance in their life. And, of course, the first rule of manifestation is intent. Our intention is critical to us being able to manifest. So Sandra says you must set a strong intention to return to living in accordance with the laws of nature, remembering as part of the web of life that you are ruled by, and as part of the cycles of nature, you must set an intention to open the lines of communication with the spirit that lives in all things. And by that, I'm giving you the key that a lot of you that have been working so hard on manifesting with affirmations and maybe have not experienced the manifestation that you were working so hard to bring about. The key to doing that is that you must intend to merge with the divine and have an experience of union with the divine, because it is the power of the divine that manifests. So you must move into union with the Great Spirit, by whatever name you call it, higher power, God, Allah, whatever name you consider to be your source, the Creator. You must intend to merge with that Great Spirit of love and light and power. And once you merge with it, then you must keep your intent strong that you want to heal the waters, that you want to heal the earth, that you want to heal your own body and your own mind and spirit. And in this healing, to bring about the good things, the positive things that you want in your life. So the first step that anyone has to take is to learn to merge with the divine. Now, I know many people listening may meditate, and meditation is a great way to connect and merge with the divine. Although I am hearing that some people don't meditate with that intention, that they meditate to become stress-free. They meditate to learn to still the mind. They meditate for all kinds of personal reasons. But unless you meditate and allow yourself to join that spirit of the divine, you will not feel the bliss and the ecstasy that is part of that union, and you will not be able to manifest. Okay? So, as merging with the divine, there are ways to do that. Spiritual teachers over the history of the world, I guess, have often taught people to do this by following their breath, by becoming conscious of their breath. And so Sandra says, here's a simple way of doing this. As you breathe, breathe in light, breathe out light. Breathe in love, breathe out love. Breathe in peace, breathe out peace. Breathe in the power of the universe, breathe out the power of the universe. Breathe in harmony, breathe out harmony. And you continue to do this, breathing in and breathing out, breathing in the light, breathing out the light, focusing your attention on the light. As you do this, you will reach a state of consciousness in which you will feel your connection with the absolute, with the divine. Okay, now this is something I would advise all people to do. If you find yourself consumed with negative thoughts about yourself or others, or if you experience depression, you can light a candle and sit just a few feet away from it and send your negative thoughts to the light of the candle to be transmuted. Ask the fire to take these negative thoughts and transmute them into healing energy to be used wherever it's needed in the universe. You keep this up until you feel free from these negative thoughts. And then once you feel free of the negative thoughts, then it's time to feed the candle, to feed the fire with your love. Feed the fire of the candle with your love. Send love into that firelight and experience the union with the divine that moves in all things and that is love and that is light. So your first step, like I said, is intention, with the intent being to merge with the divine and to experience that bliss and oneness, and then to use that power of the divine to intend the healing of Mother Earth, the healing of the waters, the healing of yourself and your life. Okay, now the next step is love. And of course, there's a lot of confusion in our society about love because we use that one word for so many different things. We love football and we love French fries and we love that beautiful waterfall. We have all sorts of, and of course, the most important, we love that significant other in our lives and we love our mother and our father. And we use that one word for all these things. So it's a little confusing sometimes to understand that love is actually the essence of the divine that moves in all things. And love is the greatest healing power there is. So once you've focused your intention and you think of love, at that point, you need to realize that you're in union with the Absolute, and this creates a true experience of divine love. And this great healer begins to move through your body and through your world and through the things that you are sending your intention to. As you open up to the wisdom of the trees, the plants, the animals, the insects, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the elements, you learn that all life thrives on love. And love is the key to creating harmony. So are you following me? Your intent was to merge with the divine. And now as you open up, you feel that love. It floods into you, pours into your heart and mind and spirit. And you begin to realize harmony. Now, harmony is the next step. And harmony is what is necessary that you must move into harmony with yourself and the rest of life. So as you create this sense of harmony, you yourself become a river of life. The power of the life force begins to flow through you and bring harmony back to you and the planet. The next step, of course, is union. When you remember your connection to the web of life and the spirit that lives in all things, you are once again in union with yourself, the rest of life, and the divine. How many people out there are truly in union with themselves? There have been so many disconnects in our human experience, in our culture. We've become technologically advanced and we have all these gadgets and all these new things, that, new toys to play with and everything. And we've lost our connection with nature. We've lost our connection with the divine. And we've lost our connection with ourselves. So this union is so important. What it does is it brings you back into alignment of all your bodies, your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body, and your spiritual body. It brings you back into alignment with the earth and with all creation, all the life forms that you share this world with. And harmony begins to truly flow through you. The next step is focus. You must focus on your intention to open the lines of communication with the spirits of nature. Now, this is something that people have forgotten about. I don't know, most of the people that I meet in the world have forgotten that there are such a thing as spirits of nature. But there are spirits in everything. Everything is alive. So, of course, there are spirits of nature, spirits of the trees, the plants, of the animals, of everything that is alive. And life is the divine source from which we all come. So communicating with the spirits of nature is something we need to work with. You can go out and sit with a tree and send love to that tree and feel love coming back to you. It's like a wave that comes out from the tree and envelops you. They are so wise and so aware of us and how we respond to them. So many of us have forgotten that trees are alive, just like we're alive. Just because we don't hear them singing or talking or screaming when we cut them down doesn't mean they're not alive. Everything is alive. So we need to connect again with the spirits of nature. I think, as I said, people are not taking action to try to change global warming and the earth changes because they just have forgotten, they've lost their connection with nature. And so we need to connect with nature again. As I said, I'm finding so many areas now where the nature spirits of the land have been disturbed or displaced and are troubled, and they're in chaos, moving back and forth and not knowing where they belong or where to go. And there's so much energy that is being stirred up by this, and it's affecting a lot of people in their homes and in the areas where they live. Now, many things can be done to help us open up and become more aware. You know, all life eats and changes composition through what it is being fed. And so I must ask you, I know you're feeding your body every day. We get hungry and we know we need to eat food. But are you feeding your spirit? Your spiritual self needs to be nourished and nurtured and fed just as much as your physical body needs to be fed. And we can do this by reading inspirational things, by going out into nature and watching a beautiful sunrise or sunset, by connecting with a tree, by connecting with animals. If you don't have a pet, I urge you to go out and get a dog or a cat or a bird or some kind of animal. They teach us so many things. And I believe a dog, it can, you know, has been called man's best friend. Dogs teach us unconditional love. They love us no matter how we look or what we're wearing or how we act or what we do. They just love us. And they're always there for us. And it's something that's just amazing to me. I have three large wolf dogs, and they have taught me so many things. They wake up so early in the morning and happy with each other. The first thing they do when they wake up is they go gently to each other, and they're wagging their tails and smiling, and they kiss each other's faces, and they go to each other doing this, and it's like they're so happy and they're saying good morning to each other and they're just happy to be alive and to be together. And then they come to me and they kiss me and love me, and we get to share this wonderful love first thing in the morning. And I'm like, wow, if only humans could do that, could learn to do that. I know people that wake up mad at the world in the morning, or wake up still carrying the weight of the world that they went to bed all depressed and worried about. And they, you know, it's a new day and you're alive. You have this great gift of life flowing through your body. So wake up happy. Go out and greet Father Sun and Mother Earth. I do that every morning, just like the prayer that opens my show. I go out and do that prayer and give thanks for my life and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service, to be of love, because that's what it's about, to be of love here on this earth. If we could live our lives with the intent to be love, to be kind to everyone we meet, to be gentle, not just with other people, but with ourselves, to be patient with ourselves. We live in such a world of instant gratification. And I see people on the spiritual path that want to unfold right now. Why can't I unfold faster? I want it right now. And unfolding to spirit has a lot to do with allowing things to happen in their own time, in their own rhythm, allowing our body to function in its own way and in its own rhythm, allowing us to become aware of the rhythms of nature and to live our life in accordance with those rhythms. It's a lot about allowing, and as you've probably heard many times, it's not the destination that counts, it's the journey. The journey we take is our life. That's what life is all about. And so as we journey through life, we should do it with an intent to be love, to be light, to be kind, to be gentle, and to appreciate that in other people and in other life forms, and to treat all life, other people and other life forms, with respect and honor. Each person is doing the best they can, probably. They're trying. They are faced with a lot of chaos in this world and a lot of situations that make it difficult to be loving and kind. But we have to remember that this too will pass away, and this person or this situation will change. Everything changes. Life is all about change. I know a lot of you may be afraid of change. You fear it because you've gotten into a comfort zone, and even if that comfort zone is uncomfortable to you, maybe you're not happy with it. You're not happy with your work, or you're not happy with your home life, or you're not happy with your own life, that you're not, you know, feeling fulfilled. Well, in order to have those things that you want, what has to change? No, it's not the world. And no, it's not those other people. And no, it's not the cat or the dog or the house. What has to change is you. It's that part of you deep inside that is perhaps still holding on to some kind of belief system or some sort of rule that you think other people are not living by. It boils down to judgment. We get into judgment about other people and things going on in our world and in our lives, and we become critical and cranky and set in our ways. And once that happens, we become rooted into the situation we're in, and we don't want it to change because we're safe here. We're solid here. We are rooted here. But you must realize that if an acorn stayed an acorn, then it's been venerated by all peoples all over the world for its wisdom and its strength. And did you know that an oak tree actually provides a home for over 500 other species of insects, bugs, worms, birds, lizards, all sorts of creatures that live in the tree and are nurtured by the tree and protected and housed by the tree. The oak tree is like Mother Earth. She loves all her children, and she blesses all of them with her abundance. So, of course, we have to be willing to change, to allow the seed of our design, our purpose, because we all came here with a purpose, to do something, to learn some lesson, or to experience love, or to do something in this world. And, of course, most of us forgot that sometime in our childhood with all of our programming that is, you know, the programming is good in many ways. It designs us to be law-abiding citizens who work and get married and raise families and obey the laws and produce children and pay taxes and become, you know, working, functional parts of the society we live in. And that's all good. But sometimes the things that are lost in our programming is our own purpose, our original medicine, as most indigenous tribes call it. They say that we are all born with some special gift that only we, only you, can do what you do. There may be other people that can do something similar to you, but nobody out there will do it in exactly the unique way that you do it. You have a special gift. That's medicine is your power. And so that's your original medicine. That's the power that you brought into the world. So one of the things that you can put an intent on is to remember what your original medicine is. And that memory is in your youth, in your early childhood. If you go back and try and remember what it was you wanted to do, what it was that excited you and made you wake up wide awake and bright-eyed and jump out of bed and run out because you were so excited to be alive and just running in the wind felt so good. And the trees called to you to come and climb them. And the birds sang songs to you. And you knew that everything had a spirit and everything was alive. And you were part of it all. You need to get back to those times. Try and remember what you felt like. Remember that sense of oneness that you felt and the joy of being alive. If work and worries and bills and all those things have overwhelmed you and you feel like that this life is just not safe and a lot of trouble and a lot of work and it's very tiring and wearying, then you need to reconnect with that little child inside you that remembers the joy of being alive. And in that joy, you can allow yourself to change. Because the seed of who you are, your original medicine, has to function just like a seed that you plant in the ground. And the seed you plant in the ground is in absolute darkness there in the ground. But it knows that there's something out there. There's light that it has to reach toward. And so you must allow yourself, just like the seed in the ground, you must allow that seed to crack open so that the sprout can come forward, can grow up out of the seed. And looking at a seed crack open, you don't realize what it has to go through to do that. But I'm sure when your spirit cracks, which is what sometimes happens to us, and it's very painful, and you're like, no, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. But the seed must crack open in order for the sprout to grow. So then you must grow just like that sprout and grow with the intent to reach the light, to reach that union with the light. Now, the sprout down in the dark ground only knows that there's something out there waiting for it, and it must reach it. It must reach it. And so it pushes up through the soil, and finally it breaks through the earth, and there's the light, and it's warm and it's nurturing, and the sprout begins to grow up towards the light. This is the same process that you must go through. And as you've begun to wake up and begun to meditate, perhaps, and begun to realize that there is something greater than you, but that somehow you're a part of it, and you can join with that, and you can have union with that, then you continue to grow. Now, of course, there are many things that can happen along the way to a sprout that has appeared up out of the ground. It has to be strong enough to withstand the cold winds of winter. It has to be sturdy enough to withstand the blazing sun of summer. And it has to have the grace to somehow not be stepped on and broken by the foot of an animal or a human passing by. So there are things that, you know, the sprout, as it grows toward the light, must experience and must survive. And we grow in much the same way. As we see the light and begin to join with the light, it doesn't mean that we won't have experiences that are not painful. We will sometimes have those. But out of suffering grows great wisdom and great strength. And just like that sprout, you begin to grow and you continue to grow toward the light and continue to live with the intent to join, to have union with that light, that divine being. This is how your spirit grows and what you must focus on. Now, Sandra says that sometimes she uses an affirmation that goes like this. All life is of the light. I am light. This food that I'm about to eat is light. I gratefully receive this light into my body to nourish and heal me. So when you prepare to eat your food, you can remember that you're eating light. And that's your acknowledgement of it and thanking it is what nourishes your body and your spirit, because that's another way of merging with the light and the divine. As we go through life, we have many instances that test us and try us. And we need to remember to have an appreciation for everything that happens, because there is a reason for everything that happens. We grow out of change and out of adjusting and adapting to change and out of weathering the storms and the pains and continuing to grow with more love and more light in our body and in our mind and in our spirit. And this is how we transmute ourselves. This is the alchemy that turns us and our spirit into gold, the gold of wisdom, the gold of divine union. Now, I want to remind everyone that we do have open phone lines. If you'd like to call in and add your 2 cents worth or have a question or want to get in on the discussion, you can call me at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And I welcome anyone who wants to join me today and talk a little bit more about how we can transmute the earth, to heal the earth, and transmute ourselves to reach the kind of person we want to be the fully aware of who we are and why we are here, and to be on purpose with our lives. I think this is something that troubles just about everyone. That big question, who am I and why am I here? And it's interesting that You know, people all over the world, getting back to Mother Earth and Father Sun and all, people all over the world have celebrated and worshiped the power of the sun. Without sunlight to nurture us, there would be no life. And, of course, the Egyptians paid homage to the sun god Ra, whose manifestations made the world bright and light. The Sami people of Northern Europe believed in the healing powers of the sun, and the shamans invoked this power in their healings. The same is true of many other cultures. Carolyn adds to the alchemical view of working with the sun. She says, in alchemy, the great work is called the operation of the sun, which is the full cultivation of the human personality as a transmuted, translucent vessel through which life can shine. The living gold of which the alchemist spoke is manifest in the radiant energy of the sun. The sun is our guiding light, reminding us that we are incarnations of all the gods, all the planets, gods and forces of our psyche reflect the light of the sun. Now, what is your intent today? Have you considered what your intent is with your life? Did you get up today with the intent that you would go forward and be happy with your life and be friendly and loving and kind to all the people that you met in your life? There are many ways to focus that. And of course, there's another way that was offered in Simon Peter's True Testament. It's a kind of a what I'd call a mini baptism. And what you do is when you wake up and you go in the bathroom, and perhaps you normally would wash your face or splash water on your face. This is sort of like that, but with intention. Intent is everything. So as you turn on the water and thank it for being part of you and all, you dip your fingers in the water and you touch your wet, dripping fingers to your eyes. And you say, bless my eyes today to see with love. Let these eyes have the power to see the world around me with love. And then you dip your fingers in the water and you touch your fingers to your ears. And you say, bless my ears to hear love in the world today, to hear love in the voices of the people that speak to me, to hear love in the wind blowing through the trees, the rustle of the leaves, to hear love wherever I go. And you touch your fingers into the water and you touch your mouth and you say, bless my mouth today, that I may speak words of love to all who cross my path, that I may speak words of love that heal and nurture instead of words of discord that can hurt or cause problems. Let me speak only words of love today as I go about my work and about my business and with my family and my loved ones. Again, you dip your fingers in the water and you touch it to your heart. And you say, bless my heart today, that it be filled with love, that it be open to give and receive love, and that it be strong and courageous to love no matter what it sees. Fill my heart with love and let all of my life be lived with a heart full of love. You hold your hands under the water and feel the waters flowing over them. And you say, bless my hands that I may do good work in the world today, that these hands will be kind to whoever or whatever they touch. and that they be doing good work in all that I do. And you touch your fingers to the water, and you put your hands down on your feet, and you say, bless my feet, that I may walk in a good way upon the earth, Mother, that wherever I step, that it be stepped with love and an intent to do no harm, that I may walk in a good way so that I can stand before the Creator at the end of my days without shame, that I can walk in a good way honoring Mother Earth and all the abundance that she gives us. And then you close this morning prayer with, thank you for my life. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and to be love. Bless this day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's such a simple little ritual, but it is so powerful because it's done with an intent to set the progress of the day ahead of you, to set it to be a certain way and to go a certain way. And as you go about your day with that intent and that focus, powerful things happen. It is amazing how people respond to love, how people turn to you and smile, not responding to your smile, but sometimes they smile first, and you smile back, and love is in the air, and it's amazing. I've seen this out in public. I've gone to the grocery store, and I'm walking around, and I can't help myself. I'm smiling because I'm happy. I'm so filled with this love and joy, and people look at me, and they smile and nod, and I smile and nod back at them. And I mean, you know, these are total strangers, but sometimes a smile will bless someone's day. Sometimes that's all it takes for someone to feel a whole lot better about themselves and about their life, because someone took the time to smile at them somewhere out on the street or in some public place, some complete stranger saw them. I mean, really saw them and smiled at them. What a blessing. Do you realize how many blessings you can put out there in the course of a day if you're smiling and joyful and happy and living from love? Life is a great gift, and we need to always remember that this is the gift that we were born with. It's ours to do with as we choose, not according to someone else's idea of who we should be or what we should be. So we must get in touch with ourselves, create that union within ourselves and with the divine, and do these things like this little ritual of blessing your eyes and ears and mouth and heart and hands and feet to go forward in love. If we do these little rituals and we set our intent every day with how we want to live that day and how we want the day to be, it can make a world of difference in your life. Now, we're almost out of time, but I want to share with you that you have my website. It's www.shamanskeep.com. You can reach me by email at Caroline@shamanskeep.com. I would love to hear from you, any responses that you have to the shows we've done. And if you have questions or if you just need to talk with someone, let me know. Email me and let's keep in touch, because we're part of this huge network of life that goes all around the world. So reach out and keep in touch. Okay. Now, next week, I have Renata Ash in England. I had her husband, Stephen Ash, on the show a few months ago, and they worked together doing the Golden Light Project and the Rainbow Medicine Circle, which is healing essences from flowers and all. And she's wonderful, so you'll really enjoy her. She will be on next Friday. And then a little later on, toward the end of the month, the 29th, we have Michael Dunning. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's called the Yew Shaman. Yew, not Y-O-U, Y-E-W, the tree shaman. And he has some wonderful things to share with us. So please keep tuning into the show and stay in touch. I love you all. Until next week, may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.